from PRX.
Hey everybody, this is Scooter. I just want to give everyone a heads up that tonight's episode contains ambient audio. It was recorded on location at the wonderful Tilden Park, and I did my best to work it in there gracefully. So enjoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends behind the binary, it's time for the podcast. This is when you don't have something witty to say, you say, hey, you know, I don't got anything witty to say tonight. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life and it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus.
Hey, people, night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you up at night. Whether it's thinking, feeling, sensing, tossing or turning, partner tossing and turning, that's the worst from what I hear. Reports in from my few that have my daughter, we had to share bed with my daughter a lot because I was on vacation. And, you know, if you sleep with a bed hog, which children tend to be, you see, geez, you're so small. One, I guess they've complained about this, but how does their body generate so much friggin' heat and they're always cold? And it's like, is that supposed to be part of your growing process? You're splaying out all your limbs, you know? And also, like, well, I have a conscience and it feels like their limbs are in rigor mortis. And then I say, well, I can't push too hard because I don't want to injure, you know, it's a child. I mean, she's not an infant. She's 9 or, yeah, so. But, you know, if you guys sleep with any of those, if you're traveling, you know, outside noise, whatever is keeping up at night, it could be anything. I'm going to try to take your mind off. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, subtle and unexpected pauses. It works, but I guess if you listen often, you say, well, I expect a pause. I say, well, yeah. Come for the pauses. The dead air is free. She said, I wish I had funnier jokes. Yeah, I guess that fits, though. The dead air is free. Great. Not even a cricket sound effect, because this is a sleep podcast, but I can hear them. But anyway, if you're new here, this podcast is meant to take your mind off stuff, to distract you from whatever it is that's keeping you up at night. with the idea that you can't think about two things at once, and your mind is trying to grab your attention and hook you. Or a lot of times, this might be just relatable, and it might not be a fact for you, but with some sort of narrative that might have to do with the future or the past or your self-worth or your job or your relationships or any of that stuff. And you see, geez, I just want to go to sleep. And I said, well, that's the best time to pester you. I have your undivided attention. And you see, geez, I don't know what part of my subconscious does that evil thing with their fingers, you know, that the evil villains do. But I can sense you doing that because I just got to go to bed. I got a meeting tomorrow. And it becomes really hard. So I'm going to come in. I'm going to do this podcast. It's going to be, tonight's episode will be a little bit different because it's a couple on location things. But this intro will still take a while. So don't worry. It'll be like, you can listen to me. But even these two on location things, you'll say, well, geez, he's there. He's in a place and he's commenting on it. And it's kind of interesting to say, geez, tonight we're going to talk about the Tilden steam trains, like the mini trains you take kids to. Or, you know, crafty people say, well, or people that don't have sex take first dates, that don't get second dates. Or, you know, that I do. Or the carousel. That's where you take it where it's like, oh, okay, we're already friends. We might as well go keep driving to the carousel now. A good thing we came in separate cars, so we won't have that awkwardness. But yeah, and you say, well, is he talking? And ideally, you know, you'll start to listen to me. You say, yeah, it's pleasant enough. I always shoot for not bad. Now, some people, I'm straight up bad, but they guarantee, hopefully they stop the podcast. They're already emailing me or writing a review. But for rest of you, sometimes it takes a few times. If you're skeptical, totally makes sense. I mean, who am I? I'm not a sleep expert. I barely can speak coherently, and only part of that's intentional. Most of it's just, you see, how do you get this? How do you do that sleep podcast, Scoots? I just try to be. I try to be myself, but the distilled essence of myself. They say, oh boy, no wonder those jokes you were making, those weren't jokes earlier, 2 seconds. Nope, those weren't jokes. I just got to be my best, believe it or not. That's all I got to do to put people to sleep, bringing my A game. I'm joking, but I'm serious. What could be a higher calling? Now I'm getting emotional. What could give me a more honor? Than to take your mind off stuff, escort you across the threshold, because I send my voice across the deep, dark night here, because I've been there. I know how much it sucks, and I know for me, when I start, you know, thinking and all that stuff, it's just hard, and I also know the night's full of mystery. I just say, geez, let's switch it up here, So if you're new here, and this is another thing, I'm going to go on another tangent, and then we'll go into the housekeeping and stuff. But I had this dream, and I wanted to make sure I got it on record here, because I didn't write it down. And it's also a confluence situation, because I had talked about Mike Birbiglia a couple weeks ago, and then he said something nice to me about the podcast this past week. But before he had said something nice, you won't believe this, I think I'd been thinking about his movie. I've actually been reading a lot of articles about interviews with him in the movie because I find him very inspiring. And no, I did not have a dream about Mike Birbiglia, but I think I had that in my mind. You know, I'm always worrying about something. This is a kind of a subtle dream, but this would be the conversation at breakfast. So was Scooter sharing his dreams last night? Yeah, I guess so. It was a dullish, very, you know, Scooterific dream. So I had this dream that I was living in Los Angeles. I live in the Bay Area. And, you know, I'd gotten a job writing on like a TV show or something. I'd just gotten a job. And I'd gotten the job in the dream through some friends. Like, I think it was like basic. It wasn't 100% on my skills. It was like, oh, I can get you this job writing on this TV show. And then at the same time, this woman got a job writing on the TV show. And this is where I felt like I was watching a Mike Birbiglia movie. But I didn't realize at the time. I thought it was a dream because I was in it, and I thought it was real, this part. So maybe I just ruined it. And I didn't, I don't do well with human beings. So I was already like in an antagonistic viewpoint with this woman because they said, well, she's going to make me look bad, you know. And she's new, I'm new. Like, so she's going to have my, she might be a better writer than me, better person, more, you know, better at interacting. So I was very stressed. And then just like in, you know, she was like very persistent about us being friends, and she was calling me. And she's, and then I would tell her stuff, you know, out of uncomfortableness. And then she would call the people, the showrunners on the show. And of course, it was like always stuff like, oh, you know, Scooter says the air conditioning's, you know, Drew in the dream was Drew. That's me. But, and it would make me look bad. And then my friend would just call him, what the heck are you doing? Telling them, you know, you're making me look bad. I got you this job and now you're complaining about the air conditioning. But she was very persistent about us being friends. But then anything I did, you know, it was just one of those situations where I was making everything worse. And I remember I was driving around these tree-lined streets. And then, I guess in the dream, I was also friends with Zach Galifianakis. And this is the one nugget of truth in the dream where you say, oh boy, this was good. Like, so he said, come over to my office. You know, he knew I was agitated. And he had just been, this was his old office. He was clearing it out. And I don't know Zach Galifianakis, but in the dream, this was his office before he was famous. And I think this was the influence of the of Mike Birbiglia's new movie, which I hope you've all seen. Don't Think Twice. He was like, oh, you come over to my office. I'm clearing it out, my old office. Because he had been on like away for a year, and he hadn't even been in the office for a year. And so it's sitting on this like grubby carpeted floor, and he was kind of sitting there, and I was complaining to Zach, and he was listening, and he was just kind of being like a good listener friend. And then he said, can you, he goes, I want you to look over in that corner of my office. You know, I haven't been in this office in about a year. I'm paying rent on it. And he goes, you know, over there in that corner, can you go in that corner there and just dig around and tell me what you find? And so I dug around the corner. I found a half-eaten chocolate chip muffin. And I said to Zach, it's a half-eaten chocolate chip muffin. And he goes, you know, that muffin's been sitting there for a year. And I said, really? He goes, you know who left that muffin there? He goes, you came into the office and you were eating it, and then you just threw it in that corner 1 year ago. And he said, think about that. And he said, do you want me to take this muffin? This is where I said, do you want me to take the muffin? Should I throw it away? And then he looked at me like a friend would in a dream. He said, don't you get the point here? And then I said, okay. Then I remember after I had all this anxiety, like I said, I'm the kind of guy who takes bites out of muffins and throws them around future stars' offices. And then I was driving around more, and then I realized that me and this woman, like, because then I had more, my friend was on the phone again saying, she said, I think you're going to lose your writing job on the show. And then the woman was calling me, and then I realized I was in love, you know, that was, then I said, oh, this is a movie, because then I was in love with her. I said, oh, this is a love story. Then I woke up. Now, what does that have to do with the podcast? Well, a couple of things. One, were you thinking about anything else during that barely, you know, the dream does have some cohesion to it, and it's not a made-up dream. That was just something I dreamt. And not all dreams have cohesion or you know, somewhat cohesive. It's like a glob, you know, like a glob, a cohesive like a blob, you know. But sometimes you just, I try to do the podcast a little more maybe around that narratively. But compared to all the narrative going through your head, I said, geez, were you thinking about any other stuff during that dream? Well, a podcast will be hopefully a little bit, barely more engaging than that dream if you're new here. But here's the other thing. I'll be here the whole time. I'm going to be here till the end of the episode. So all the way through an hour. So if you can fall asleep, I'll be here trying to be a little bit funny and a little bit entertaining. But you also, you could fall asleep whenever you want. You're under no pressure to fall asleep right now because this isn't like a should, like, oh, you should have been asleep already. Or, oh, this is a sleep solution for you. No, this is just sleep. So you say, hey, try it out. Listen. See what happens. I'm not that engaging. What can I say? I happen to be good at taking your mind off stuff. I guess, I mean, and like I said, that's a pretty damn, it's a pretty sweet gig. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to get it to, you know, make it a sustainable gig, but it, you know, I get these great emails from people, and I get to be a goofball, and where else would I get to share a dream where there is, and I don't know if you could feel the emotional resonance there, but there is this truth in Zach Galifianakis' eyes when he said, like I said, geez, I am that kind of guy. And they said, is that what was happening in the first half of the dream? I was more worried about me getting a writing job than my friend sticking his neck out for me. And then I was more worried about my fears than, geez, me and this woman are going to be working together. We could be like collaborators, partners in our newness at this writing staff. But no, I was fixated on my fears, and then she was trying to be friendly, and I couldn't even operate, so I was making things worse by just being myself, a nervous self, and then complicating things. And then who knows how the relationship would have turned out, because luckily I woke up. So that's it. If you're new here, I guess usually that's a little bit different opening. I don't normally share my dreams. You know, because usually it's like Carole King and Carole Kane riding a pickle. And I said, well, that's too, you know, that's just too obvious. And they say, you know, that's not a dream I have, I swear. Probably have dreamed it. Well, anyway, and so if you're new here, this is a podcast. It's no pressure. You don't got to remember anything. And you don't got to fall asleep, but you can. And if you can, I'll be here to take your mind off stuff. So I'm glad you're here. Appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by. I really yearn to help you fall asleep. Housekeeping. I want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does our theme music. Carl W. and Chris edit some of the shows. I want to thank Jonathan Mann, who does our lullabies. You can commission a song from him at jonathanmann.net. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank, we have a Facebook group of listeners at slumipodcast.com/nods. I want to thank Jennifer B., Lie to Lie, Laura, Julie C., Summer, and Sarah, who moderate over there. And that's it. Let's get on with the show.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everybody, Scoots here. I'm here at Tilden Park at the steam trains. You can hear the sounds of the train traveling across the rails. What you cannot hear is the looks on the children's faces, on the parents' faces, on the grandparents' faces, on the first date faces of a couple of, one of the people thought, hey, this is, let's go on a steam train. That'll be a unique experience as it chugs along behind me. Not a loud chug, a bit of a squeaky, you know, squeaky rail gets the kids to ride on the steam train, as they say in the miniature steam train business. But this is the Golden Gate Live Steamers. You can hear the birds of a lovely spring day. From where I'm standing, I could see all the way across to San Pablo Bay. So it's a rare day here in the hills of Oakland and Berkeley. Beautiful Oakland and Berkeley, California. And we'll be having a little bit of an adventure here. Because right now I'm on the outskirts looking at a grove of pine trees. I believe, I don't think they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Wonder if they share a root system. I assume they do, but I don't want to assume anything about you, lovely trees. But I'm in a lower parking lot now, and I'm going to head to where the people are and, you know, see what, ideally... Oh, I just saw, I'm not kidding, a robin catch an insect right in front of me in the air. All right. Scooter here. I'm hoping to catch a close-up version of the train. I'm close to the tracks, which I have a close-up view because I'm close to the tracks. And they look even thinner than I would have imagined. They look very safe. They're sturdy tracks. Don't worry. And they've got heavy ties. Ties that bind, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they're bound, you know. Ties do bind, they say. I'm going to get closer. I don't know how much audio I'll be able to pick up closer, but we'll see. All right, this is Scoots here. I don't know if this is going to be usable audio, but I'm watching a train boarding. I'm live here at the boarding of a steam train. Army camp, says the sign at the depot. And the families stream into cars, many wearing hats, hopefully everyone wearing sunscreen. You can hear the chatter. The chatter of a long weekend. RVRY, Redwood Valley Railroad car number 114. People looking happy, people looking tired, people looking at me, wondering what is this man doing. He's got some strange contraption on a tripod and a strange mic and cords. Warriors gear. Heard there's a Warriors game tonight. And there's a double, triple safety check going on. So, you know you're in good hands here at the Redwood Valley Roadway. Quadruple, matter of fact, quadruple safety check. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then two heading out the cars. A great diversity of the Bay Area is on display here. Oh, how glorious the riders of the Redwood Valley Railway are. Oh, how wonderful. I wish I had a bard with me. Either a bard of words or a bard of song. And all around us, evergreen trees. Diversity is evergreen, I think. I mean, I don't know. I think by definition it is. But what we're really seeing here are people making the most of their long weekend, of getting out and about. I think they call this doing the opposite of what Scoots does. And Scoots is doing the opposite of what he does by doing what he does. I'm out of the house this weekend. Not recording at home. Trying to soak in the call of all aboard has rung out, and the train prepares to depart. There's not a and the engine fires up and prepares for departure. The steam begins and the motion begins. RVRY 114 passing me by. Clapping. Enjoy RVRY 108. RVRY 106. It looks like a coal car. RVRY 304, a contained car. RV 302, a boy on his father's lap looking right at me. I couldn't wave because I have too many things in my hand. And finally, RVRY 303. And goodbye, Caboose. I'll see you soon. So I'm at the end of the loading area here, and I see a weathered, mossy sign that says Golden Gate Live Steamers. There's moss on the top. There's moss on the sides. There's chatter, but it's a kind of a hidden path, so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to... Let's see what we find here. Oh, wait, strange. There's socks on a tree. I don't know what that means. Children's socks on the branch, lower branches of evergreen trees. Okay, I'm about 10 feet down this path. I gotta recommend you take it because it's got a nice curve.
and there's earth on either side of it. But I'm here, I'm standing under a trestle, the trestle of the railroad, and I'm down here. There's a sign, Golden Gate Miniature Railroad. It looks like an even smaller railroad, owned and operated by the Golden Gate Live Steamers Incorporated. Builders of small steam-operated locomotives. The system accommodates 2.5-inch, 3.5-inch, 4.25-inch, and 7.5-inch gauge engines. And there's a notice here. This is not a commercial enterprise. Its purpose is to encourage the hobby of steam locomotive building. Engines will not be allowed to use tracks without permission of the safety committee. And of course, there's some rules. Welcome to the Golden Gate Live Steamers. Always sit facing forward. Keep your hands and feet on board in all caps. Do not reach out to touch objects. Always keep hands and feet on board, all caps. Do not reach out to touch objects or lean to take photos. Never rock the cars. Remain on board and seated at all times unless directed otherwise by the train crew. When the train returns to the station, remain seated until the train comes to a complete stop and the station manager advises you to disembark. And there's some beautiful pictures from the history of the Golden Gate Live Steamer, 75 years, founded in 1936. Actually, that's 80 years this year, I think. 70 plus 10 is 80 years. They have a picture of Vic Shattuck from 1936 in an Oakland basement with a big train. Nice, great train. Vic is wearing, looks sharp. The Tilden Track Park at the beginning in 1971. And it looks like the model train, or the train that the kids are riding, is spewing out real coal smoke. I think now probably runs on something less coal-like. A shot of a Thomas the Tank engine. The first outdoor track was at Redbird Park in 1950. They had a golden spike ceremony in 1975. And they have a little bumper sticker with a little pun in it. Steam locomotives have a tender behind. But I'm here underneath a total tree cover. It's a warm day. The sky is nearly empty. The birds, as you can hear, are tweeting. A jet trail is across the sky in a few wispy clouds. And as I wait for the next round of train travel, so I can experience it from directly underneath the trestle, I look out, and for me, and I'm not a big appreciator of things, it's hard for me to slow down, but you know, I want to label all these trees evergreens, but as I look at them, I can see just the diversity within these evergreen trees or other trees. I can see ones that are a deep pine green, shading to black in the shadows. And then ones closer by that are almost like a jaundiced yellow green. And I can see their branches in different configurations, similar but still different. Their heights, you got a pretty uniform, not totally uniform, you know, I guess I'm wrong, a huge difference within a minute space, but overall, semi-uniform. And the train wind blows, it says, you know, take a break, driver 7, I think was your number. Whatever it is, these people are getting their money's worth, because I forgot to look at the price, but the price is very affordable. Line not terrible. When I first got here, I said that line looks terrible. I was wrong. That was the line for the restroom. But it's Tilden Park that we're in, just in case you're listening. T-I-L-D-E-N. I'll say it once, I'll say it twice, and then I'll say it again. Tilden. It's a park you wouldn't believe is, you know, steps away from beautiful downtown Oakland, California. What's that? I'm saying, well, it's not steps away, Scoots. Okay, you got me. Train approaches.
which allowed me to reset, readjust. And actually, I wasn't under the trestle. I couldn't get to the, like the train for the leisurely pace it goes. It's it's faster than a sleep podcaster. Faster than a sleep podcaster. More slower than a children's locomotive. Duller than the dullest building. Duller than the dullest municipal building. Super scoots. The only thing he's super is super dull. Well, I used dull once, I guess. Like Christmas bells, the bells and ring of the train. And joy they bring. And yes, the train did make an adjustment, because now I see the head of the locomotive as it gets ready to unload the end of the line. And I do say to myself, how the hell am I going to make a sleep podcast with a freaking locomotive tooting its horn? I mean, that'll complicate the edit, but I guess I'll just put a warning up front and say, hey, not to toot my, I'm not even tooting my own horn. Somebody else is tooting a freaking train horn. What do you want from me? But I do have to tell the tale of my daughter in my first trip to the live steam trains here at Tilton Park. She was from the tender age of birth till, I don't know when it wore off. I'll have to ask her, 5-6 years old. She didn't like the words all aboard. When someone said all aboard, she would start to cry. And I remember the train ride we took on this train. My parents and my daughter and her mother. And my daughter cried the whole time. And she was old. I think she must have associated it with, she also didn't like to be weighed at the doctor's office or measured. So I don't know if those two are, I don't think those are related, but, and when, as soon as someone would say all, you could say it even in an out of context, and she would start to tear up. But yeah, she didn't like this train, and it gets mild is the way to put this ride, leisurely. Maybe we'll one day learn she has a super hearing. But she did not like the train. You can hear the trains going through some sort of, I don't know if it's re-steaming or, steam. You remember the show? There was a show called Steam Pipe Alley. Mario Cantone was on it. Did you believe Mario Cantone, Dennis Leary, and who was the actress? They all went to Emerson together. The school I was too scared to go to, Emerson. And I think they were all friends. They did theater together. But Mario Cantone was on a show that I saw on WPIX 11 Live called Steampipe Alley, a children's show. I don't remember the plot. I remember he was very energetic and good. And on Steampipe, I can't sing, but I think the chorus went on Steampipe Alley. Oh, no, that's WPRX in Cincinnati or whatever. Time to time up and down the aisle. Maybe you and me were meant to be sitting around listening to some trains. I'm at TILDN Regional Park. But the train I can see some passengers awaiting boarding here. Hey, you better probably do a little maintenance, This is a long day for an ancient steam engine. An iron horse is John Henry, who I have a great love, once derided. Maybe, I don't know, did he deride it as an iron horse, or was that the guy that was selling it? But John Henry, what would John Henry, I'd like to take a stroll with John Henry. I'd like, I've always had a affinity for him. Whether it was in book form or cartoon form or, is it a tall tale or historical fiction, or was he a historical figure? But we stand and we await the train. The whistle blows. Train conductor says, take a break. Driver 8. And with the release of steam, the train goes on. Wow, that sounds cool. So this is Scoots here. To be honest, I had a quiet moment there between recordings, and so this is Scoots here, waiting for one more round of the train. To be honest, I had, had a few moments between the last recording I stopped, because we got a lot of family traffic here. And he said, oh boy, I don't know if this is going to work with all the rail sounds. Yes, I can feel it. I have a squinch squanch going here. But I guess I'll just go with the flow of the... I can edit it. Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Tilden. So I'm under it looks like a depot, for the miniature, the Golden Gate Miniature Railroad. And I just said, sometimes you miss the beautiful things in life when you worry. It's natural to worry. You're trying to put people to sleep. You got some good recording down, but you got screechy rails. You say, well, screechy rails wake you. They probably might wake people up. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. But I could tell you if you could see this. It's a fake slate roof, with those usual roof tiles, the scrapey ones. But on the roof is some moss towards the pinnacle of the roof, the top of the triangle. And below it is some evergreen pieces that have fallen and dried. And they're just sitting there resting on the slope of the roof. Even a couple hanging over. As you can hear the train whistle blowing yet again. And a nodal approach. I use my stopwatch in the parking lot. Well, kind of. I'm on my phone, and then I forgot. So I think the train's loop takes about 9 to 10 minutes. Not scientific, but there's nothing scientific about the beauty of this slope of this roof. And there is something, you want to talk about underrated things. Roofs are one of the top underrated. You want to talk about unappreciated. I mean, except when you got to pay for it. Then there's the object of scorn. Did you ever hear somebody that's got to put a new roof on their house? Roofs and roofers have it hard, But then you look at one like this, right when I need it, right when the train just went by again, it's squeaking, it's blowing. And I'm squinch squanching, wondering, oh boy, how's this going to go? How am I going to edit this? I guess I'll edit this one myself. Well, how many emails will I get? Will I just feel like curling up in a ball, or will I need to... And the roof says, this is sometimes where, I get the backup from, but this is how the podcast really works. Things like the roof, this roof and roofs everywhere say, hey man, forget about all that. I got you. I don't got your back. I got your head. Technically this one just has my emotional, it's the roof over my emotions. This ceiling can hold us, look at me, man. Look at how nice I look. I'm not perfect. I'm, bowed and bent. Covered in former evergreens. Evergreen no longer. Dried out. Brown and rust and the color of earth. Moss, probably its own ecosystem, as the roofers of this will discover. This one looks like a volunteer, so they'll be able to fix it. I got all the faith of the Golden Gate Live Steamers Incorporated, founded in 1936 in Oakland, California by Victor Shattuck. Yeah, that they'll be fine. They'll deal with this roof. And I guess it's this contrast because I'm under a roof of trees at the same time. Steps away from a train trellis. Trellis is a helicon. That's a nice word, Trellis. I've known a few people named Trellis. I mean, that's a good... some people live on a street named Trellis. Some people have a name, Trellis. Train Trestle. Oh, boy. There you go, Scoots. Luckily, there's no one here to see me blush and at this roof. Roof, you saw me mix up Trellis and Trestle. And you probably even heard my brain say, well, that's weird. It's called Trellis. Like, how is a trellis with a train trellis? How are those the same? Because it's a different thing, Scoots. It's a trestle and trellis. And I say, yeah, I don't have the ability. Phonemic awareness is not my game. Roof awareness, that's my new thing. I swear from this day forward. I don't know, what was I going to promise? There's something. Oh, no, I'm just kidding, Roof. I was just giving the Roof. That was a little joke, because I like you so much, I feel like I could get around with you. Train Roof. As we wait for one last trip of this train to get some, try to get some clean audio. Try to get some clean audio where I'm not talking, and obviously, hopefully, no families come, and I feel obligated to stop recording. I'll just watch this roof and let it soothe me and think about the roofs in my lives. The roofs of my lives. The Scooter Story. Part 44. I think that's probably better off as a chapter. Or a novella. No, is it a trellis or trestle? A trellis or a trestle? You could put trellises on a trestle, though, I would think. I have to believe that, because I just said it's... how lucky am I to, you know, right when I needed it, right at my emotional low point for this hour of this day, I had a roof here to say, you'll work it out, man. Just keep talking. Do what you do best. Ramble. Observe. Edit. Weave together a story... that feels like it's mushed together. And I said, well, why don't I just mush it together, Roof? And Roof says, done. And I say, those shingles are too, you know, those shingles, that, what was I calling them earlier? Tiles? Roof tiles. I think about the steeples I saw in Syracuse, New York months ago, and the roofs on those, the roofs on a steeple, were quite nice. And I hear the call of all aboard ringing out, and imagining my daughter somewhere at a birthday party, 15, 20 miles away from here, cringing. Why did I get this sense of unease? Because it's time for the train. And so now I'll move on and attempt to use the restroom, and right, not likely here. Because the line was humongous. But you know, that's not you for you. That's neither here nor there. Because I can tell you one thing I can tell you as a fact is right now I think it's about 2:30 p.m. And if I look up and nearly directly overhead is the sun. I know it's supposed to be overhead at noon. But, you know, I've been off kilter my whole life. But it's filtering through these tree branches. And a lot of these lower branches are bare and, you know, look like they've passed on. I don't know how that works. I'm not an arborist or a tree pathologist, but, you know, there is green in the higher branches, but the lower branches look dry. But, man, do they look good as the sunlight, and they contrast against the sky that doesn't even look blue. It looks white. And I catch the air. It's a heady scent. It's not just of pine. It's of the, I think they're eucalyptus trees that dot the hills here in the Bay Area. Let me smell it again for all of you. Oh, boy. No, I'm not. Oh, wow. Because you're getting the dry earth, too. The dry earth, I think probably like a pine tar off of the train trestle rails. Because those always smell good, you know, especially when they're drying in the sun, you know. Have you ever come across a downed telephone pole in the sun? A downed telephone pole in the sun. A collection of poems by Scooter. But it smells good here, but I have to move on because people are coming, so... but you won't notice. I'll be right back for you. Hi, this is Scoots. I'm here at the Tilden merry-go-round. You can probably hear the sounds of joy all around me. And the sounds of Mary getting to go around. Right now, within my view, is the enclosing building, the lights of the carousel. A crane, I believe, is the closest animal to me. It's hard because it's very bright outside and shaded and dark inside. But yeah, it's a good-looking crane, and I believe this is an all-wooden carousel. Not positive on that, but I'm going to try to investigate, try to work up the courage to ask permission to record inside, though it might be too loud anyway. Okay, now my sunglasses are off, and my view is a little bit better. Yeah, the crane has a feathery neck and a red, maroon color around its face, a light orange beak, and some sort of purple material as part of its, what do you call those things that you could put on a horse saddle. There's a nice-looking white horse with a not quite mint green ribbon. What color is that? I wish I brought that color thing, but it has a berry. Yeah, but the color of a berry, not gelato. What's that other stuff that's not gelato? It's like gelato. It's like made of ice, but it's not called icy. It's supposed to have not. It's the one that's supposed to not have any calories. I guess it still has calories because it's got sugar, but it's that color, you know. I get to the point, Scoots, I just did. And that horse has a matching. I guess it has a saddle, those rings are called. And then underneath the saddle is a billowing material. In front to the left of that is a zebra putting its head to the sky and saying, "Yes, I'm on a carousel. Yes, I am. You can't saddle me. I'm a saddle-free zebra, but I'm on a carousel." Why does the zebra have no saddle, but the horse and the crane do? Why? Ask why. Actually, this might be perfect, recording at a distance. You can hear the noise of parties, birthday parties, and picnics, and late lunches of family time and friend time. So you can rest well knowing that I'm surrounded by joy. Maybe, a little bit of tiredness. You know, it is nap time for some. But who can blame them? It's a warm day. Warmest day of the year, I think, so far. I just made eye contact with a lion. Wonder if that has a saddle and who put it on the lion. But yeah, there's a boarding going on. And ideally, I'll get a little bit of time to look at the paintings on the carousel as well. I always find those to be intriguing and enchanting. But yeah, the children are boarding. The carousel is filling. I see something with it. It looks like a mystical creature. Some sort of sea goat. Sea horse goat. Purple, scaled, horned. No one wants to ride that sea goat. I'd like to ride it. Say, "Hey, sea goat, I'll ride you one day." The boy who rode a sea goat. Yet another tale. Or would it be, I don't know, I should have brought I wish I had an intern here, especially to do the Braves. I wish I had the bravest intern. My time was Scooter. I mean, really, I'd love to have an intern. Well, Scoots, I'll go right in. Let me ask them. Mystery Bard's like that sometimes. Mystery Bard's very brave. But
Yeah, just say, go inside and say, hey, how about Scoots comes right in here, recording while riding. I don't know, that would be pretty intense. But, let's see. So I'm still looking at that white horse, the zebras neigh. Okay, it looks like they're getting ready to go, so there might be a bell ring, which I'll have to maybe edit out. I've seen a darker gray stallion, I believe, very dark gray. Lighter gray on the mane. Do horses have a mane or just lions? Because the lion's right behind it on its tail. But they look friends. In this, in a Potter-esque fashion, this stallion has a scarf. Looks like, I don't know how the horse would make it from Harry Potter onto the Tilden. It's got a blue, turquoise and light blue scarf with some gold. There goes the lion. Lion is saddled, just in case you're wondering. There goes that giraffe, saddled giraffe. Reindeer, horse, tiger, saddled. Dragon, saddled. I'm trying to find any other. There goes my sea beast. It looks like it was just a fancy goat. I think the zebra may be the only unsaddled beast in this. Oh, and there's a man on the zebra. Looks like there's more than one zebra. There's a young girl and another zebra. And they're saying, hey, I need no saddle. I trust this zebra. I ride zebras for fun at the Tilden Park Carousel. The dragon looks cool. Like no one's on the fancy goat. I guess I'd have to ride that. It doesn't go up and down. So this does have, I don't know, is that reticular motion or up and down motion on some of them? You can really hear the yells of joy as people ride it and enjoy themselves. So you let out joy. Oh, there's the reindeer doesn't go up and down either. No one's on the reindeer. I can't say it's a reindeer. It's a horned mammal, you know, one of those hoofed mammals. And it's probably a bunch of different species of horses, or horse. Horses, right? Species of horse. One crane. Let's keep an eye out for any other cranes. But if you could see this motion, it would only carry you deeper into a restful state. It's a perfect motion. I'm actually trying to talk to the motion. Just noticed another creature. I'll have to get a good look at that one. It was a dark gray and red fantasy creature. I think I saw a giant rooster too, and I'm talking at the same motion as the carousel is spinning, and wondering, you know, if this motion, if I'm, you know, am I feeling vertigo or not? I don't think so, but it's spinning. People are leaning back, you know, that move when adults lean back to take pictures or talk to the kids. I see someone holding a real young child sitting on the side of the horse. Not a lot of phone use. I don't think there's any service up here is probably why. Oh, there's someone. Oh, that was the same child being held on the horse as a pacifier, and that's cute. And they do have the seat belts and the slowing. The motion is slowing as my pace slows. This pace of the carousel also slows down, and so does my speaking. There goes my goat buddy. But yeah, I wonder if I should just risk, you know, I probably shouldn't just go right inside and record, because that wouldn't be a good idea, but I'd really like to get a better view of the paintings and the craftsmanship of this carousel. I wonder if the noise, you know, I don't know if it's the fear or the noise. It's the fear. Let's be honest. I'm afraid. I looked in the snack bar, and I remember the last time I was here was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I was frightened, maybe even longer than that, and I was frightened by the person that worked at the snack bar. So I'm still frightened of her even 5, 6 years later. You know, I don't know why. I just am. And there's the crane, and the ride comes to a close, and people start to disembark from their carousel. Still see a zebra. And there's my goat friend standing there. I don't know what animal it is. It looks like it has a sheep. Whatever the heck, the sheep. What does sheep have? Wool.
But it's horse-shaped. It has a saddle, turquoise, or even like a aquamarine blue with a candied red stripe and then a light orange stripe and then a brown leather saddle. Horns, like a goat-like horns, you'd say. Even if it was, you know, like Goat Boy. Remember Goat Boy? I think that was on Saturday Night Live. But yeah, like goat horns. And actually, like an upturned tail, just a little tail, like a deer's tail. This could be an experimental creature. Could be a very experimental creature. Who knows what it's doing here? Someone's taking my picture too as I'm recording. So, you know, when controversy hits, know that my picture was taken. And I say, what is that odd guy doing with the strange microphone and such? But he got my picture, so that's good. It took him a while. Yeah, he's taking more pictures, so that's good. Maybe he was taking a selfie. You know, my ego talk and says, hey, yeah, my ego's, you know, said, it's time to panic. Someone's taking your picture. So I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm trying to put people to sleep, actually, and appreciate the carousel. So there's another carousel boarding going on. Maybe I'll try to get a little closer with this one. I don't know how I'll be able to do that with this sound, though. And at least try to get a look at some of these paintings. I guess I'll have to leave my... I have a tripod with an ambient sound recorder going. Hopefully these people that are by me, I can trust to keep it well. So I'm going to do that. So I've just gotten close enough to smell the snacks and things. But I've also gotten, and it has the right smell. We're in the hills above Oakland, California, and Berkeley, California. But it smells like any park anywhere, USA, anywhere you might want to be. You can probably, and the building that holds this, I think it was made from redwood. I remember reading something about it, but what I'm really looking at are these paintings in the wood, the top of the carousel. It's not enclosed, you know. I don't know what you call that. I always want to call it wainscoting. But it has the beautiful, lights, the lights you see at seaside amusement parks. There's faces carved, some are smiling, some aren't, and then there's paintings of, I see one of Alcatraz, I see one of two Native Americans, or maybe they're not Native Americans, maybe they're colonialists, or whatever, non-indigenous, on horseback, pointing at something. They could be Spanish explorers. Now I'm looking a little bit closer. Look like they're on some coastal scrub. The painting of Alcatraz is nice. There's three boats in the water. Looks like sunset, close to sunset. The water is calm. And those are just the ones on the exterior top. And then on the interior, there's two more sets of paintings. And that part which should be enclosed by the... whatever the music machine's called. Calliope? Is that what it's called? Calliope? I love this kind of music. I do. And just waiting for the carousel to move. I guess you give a horse... You got some miniature horses driving a sleigh. And a family that I saw at the train is here. A family of three with a young child. Some sort of bellowing horse sound there. The crane, of course, I can't get rid of this crane. Interior paintings, there is a painting of a bison and a Native American. Looks like a painting of some kind of lakeside cabin and another lakeside nature scene with some animals. Another interior painting of a woman walking, farm type. Some bucolic, is that bucolic? Oh, wow, a white tiger and a deer in a natural situation. That looks like maybe Yellowstone. It's hard to get to paintings as it moves. Definitely a reindeer. That one that I thought was a reindeer is a reindeer for sure. Lions, oh no, that's a tiger. It's definitely looking up. Oh, it's, you know, another thing I just saw that's cool. Oh, wow, they have one spinning container you could sit down in instead of a sleigh. But the sleighs are really well decorated, or the sledges. One has, like, the... Oh, one rocks back. This might be the greatest carousel in the world. Let me just say it right now, because that I've podcasted from this right now. Oh, I just saw Toad. So there's a Toad. So you could ride... It's not Mr. Toad's, but you could have a wild ride on Mr. Toad. There's a... You got to see... I wish you could be here with me seeing all the details that I can't even capture in a sleepy podcast. So many... There goes the rooster. It was a... I think it's a cock. I mean, I'm not even... Oh, a cat. Oh, boy. There goes another rooster. Oh, the giraffe has a scarf or an ascot on one of the giraffes. I like that a lot. Only one of them, too. So I just saw another giraffe had no ascots. Yeah, there it goes. Or maybe just a, you know, maybe it's like a singing giraffe that, oh, a dog. I see a dog. So much. Four gray horses in it lined up, and then four white horses. Okay, so horse thing. So maybe they've patched this together. Maybe that's another thing I read about it, is that they patched it together as they were making it. Because there is some consistency with the horses, but not total consistency. But I'll tell you what, you know what I want consistently out of my carousels? Fun, and that's it. I don't need a... That's a difficult job. You know, you don't see theme parks saying, well, let's tell a story with this carousel. Here's a story. It goes round and round, and it's fun. Say we and enjoy it and soak in the details. You know, why you gotta make a story out of everything, Scoots? And I say, well, I don't know. They just get uncomfortable. You know, I said, that's what I got. I need something to grasp onto. Or, you know, I'm worried that, you know, I got to go inside and maybe ask for permission. So that I don't like that idea. A dog barking. That's strange. Is there a dog on the carousel? And now the carousel slows. Oh, I just saw a painting of a mill. Old stone mill. Yosemite. Wild animals, two dogs in a cave, advertisement for the wagon train, a boy sitting on something. All right, here I am. I'm live on the carousel. I try to lower the gain as low as I can here. And I have permission, and so I'm on. I'm in the in one of these bench things, driven by three miniature horses. And let's see what's on the side. Oh, it's a school one with I don't know if it's a muha or, you know, the kind of aquatic women you see in like World Fair type art. I wish I had a. Art knowledge. And the bench is padded. It's nice. In front of me are four white horses. Next to me is that crane. The crane has a cross look on its face up close, to be honest. Very cross look. And there's a bunch of people. A lot of questions came in here, but people are boarding and safety's being checked. The guy just said, enjoy your ride, and he meant it. He didn't just say, he's not dialing it in. Oh, American flag on a winged horse nearby. A boy on a saddleless zebra next to the loneliest goat I've ever seen. Oh, a woman's holding the goat's horn for balance, at least. So that's nice for that goat. You know, we got some human contact. Oh, and Lady Witchbeard's riding with me, by the way. Lady Witchbeard the figure, not the woman. But you can hear the booming sounds, and... I don't know how this will sound. I don't even know if any of this is usable. So fun. Lights are above me, watching the motion of the horses. It's very relaxing. This might be the next thing. Carousel videos to sleep to. I guess because we got to have your eyes closed to sleep. But yeah, I'm feeling it. There's actually a kinetic motion as such that I'm being moved slowly.
Boy on a hairy dog in front of me, too, I'm noticing. A couple of the horses have the, like, horsehair tails, and some of them have sculpted tails. The spinning seat, there's a couple of kids in there. They look like they're having the time of their lives. I mean, this is the kind of place where memories are made, you know. Ideally, you know, not the ones, like, from the movies, but, you know, the good ones. They say, I remember that day, the smell of popcorn, the smell of machine oil grease, the way the sun hit the trees, and the calliope rang out, the sounds earlier of all aboard or ready to go. Even the mechanical humming, I don't know if you can hear, but I can hear it just underneath. Kind of like a bass and a bass drum and a bass. Don't they go to support music anyway? But, but here I am. I guess I just heard this carousel is 105 years old, and that's impressive. It's surprising when it's actually made in a house of carousel. Like, this would be it's got a hardwood floor. You put up walls on either side. It'd be hard to navigate. Yeah, so I guess it'd be better for, I don't know how much utility it would have unless you just enjoyed sitting on things. People are cheering. I don't think anyone's crying. I think there's just cheering going on. I hear kind of a deeper guttural sound, but I think that's a good one. I don't think I'm traveling through time. I hope I'm not traveling through time. But in some sense, I do feel like I am, in a good way, you know, traveling through time on a carousel or a merry-go-round. I'm merry. Oh, and I feel the motion. Is the motion slowing? Are we going? What would Willy Wonka say about this? What would Willy Wonka say? He would say, hey, Charlie, get back to the factory and get to work. You're not even my child, and I gave you my entire fortune. Make some chocolate already. I said, well, that's what the Oompa Loompas do. I just got a mouthful of fresh popcorn scent. Wow, that was good. Crane's still in a bad mood. Crane and I have a very similar look. Hopefully I'll remember to take a picture of it, but... And the ride comes to a close as we wait for the bell. And, the carousel slows. Motion goes. Time flows. Nobody knows. Yada yada goes. Keep warm toes. And, wear proper bedclothes on a carousel. Crane doesn't like me. Bell's about to ring. Children won't sing, but it'll sound like it. They'll be singing with joy. And that's it. A little carousel ride. Carousel's moving backwards. Backwards motion. Never seen that happen before. I like it. I like it a lot. 100-year-old carousel. A ride in time and a ride on time. I'm just reading some historical facts about the carousel. The origins of the carousel in general, the word can be traced back to 12th century games of horsemanship. In the 12th century, quoting this, Arabian games of horsemanship called carouselos. And then 16th century France had lavish tournaments of pageantry called carousels. 17th century French noblemen were trained for a contest on legless wooden horses going after rings around a pole. Rotation power originally in at the Dickens Fair could be by horse, mule, or man pushing or pulling the mechanism. Through the late 19th century. In 1860, Frederick Savage designed a portable center-mounted steam engine which could carry the weight of three or four rows of horses on platforms. He followed this invention with the patent for the overhead gears, which, man, this guy's brilliant. They gave an up and down motion to the horses called jumpers today. In 1867, Gustav Denzel, a German immigrant, formed the G.A. Denzel Company and pioneered the carousel industry in America. In 1876, Charles Loof, L-O-O-F, in his spare time, built the carousel that was installed in Coney Island. In 1882, Alan Herschel started the Armitage Herschel Company, later to become Herschel Spillman Company, which built small portable carousels, except for a few large park machines. And the Tilden merry-go-round that we just rode was one of those large machines. In 1893, Charles Wallace Parker started the C.W. Parker Company to build carousels. And at age 14, Dwight Eisenhower sanded horses at that factory. 1903, Henry O'Shea formed the Philadelphia Toboggan Company. And these were all, like, their major players. Denzel, Loof, Herschel Spillman, and the Philadelphia Toboggan Companies. They were the big players, and they each had their own style of carving. Handcrafted chisel carousels prospered until the mass production in the 1920s and the Depression gave a fatal blow. And from then on, they were made from aluminum or fiberglass. There's about 300 handcrafted carousels still operating in the U.S. Now, the Tilden merry-go-round was manufactured, as we said, by the Herschel Spillman Company in North Tonawanda, New York. It was built in 1911. And it's a three-row machine with menagerie animals. It was the second permanent machine built by Herschel Spillman for Oliver Davis of Redlands, California. It was first installed in Urbita Springs, an amusement park built by the Pacific Electric Railway along its trolley line between San Bernardino and Corona, California. 1960, it was moved to Wonderland Park, Ocean Beach in San Diego. In 1928, was moved to somewhere near Long Beach, California. 1935, Oliver Davis reacquired the machine and brought it to Griffith Park in L.A. In 1937, it was dismantled and placed in storage. In 1939, it was used in the Universal Studios film So Ends the Night. And in 1948, Ross Davis and his son John moved it to Tilden Regional Park. And there's a lot more recent history about the restoration. They had a project in November 2015 that brought fresh life to the merry-go-round animals, chariots, and spinning tub. And the project team included artisans from the 1978 restoration that introduced the color palette we see today. So that's a little bit of the history. Carousel here. There's also a couple different music machines. I don't know if any of them are working currently. Alright, so this ends our visit to the carousel here. I don't know if I'll have any extra audio. Maybe I can pull some out and carry you off into dreamland with it. But for now, just in case, this is all I have. Try to picture the horses moving up and down gently, rising and falling. A slow, steady motion up and down. So, just picture the carousels moving up and down, gently carrying you away, gently, gently carrying you off into dreamland. My pace the same as the carousel, slow and languid, pleasant as the summer breeze, refreshing, refreshing, gentle, and, I don't know, carrying smells that are good, I guess. And I guess summer breezes don't always do that, but idealized ones do, and that's what this podcast specializes in. Idealized moments you can rest to. I see an idealized painting right now of a mountain cabin in snow and a carved face blowing some breeze, actually, the irony. It's blowing its summer breeze right at me. So, yeah. So thanks for joining me today at the Tilden Carousel. It's been a pleasure. It's been my pleasure. And, a wagon train. And I guess, with that, I'll leave you. And I'll leave the park for the day. Thank you, and good night.
Everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, an all intro episode came out. The all night episode, I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky, PI. I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Fair with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only. There's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2. Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? In the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press, and we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.